Somebody reach out in faith and grab hold of another dimension tonight. Somebody declare over your life that I'm going to another level. Somebody declare over your life, I'm not going to go back. I'm not going to go back. I'm reaching forward. Now is the time. Now. 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 I hear a kingdom alarm clock going off. Can you hear it? It's awakening God's people in the United Kingdom. The time for this nation is now. The time for the kingdom of heaven is now to be released in the earth. And I declare over this region that there is an apostolic voice rising out of the ashes to declare the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Sito roba sekete rabandaramase brondo roba steshi. And there's revival coming to rural England. There's revival coming to rural England. The fires will burn in the fields. I said the fires will burn in the fields. The fire of heaven. Keta, rasa, reke. Come on, somebody engage with me tonight. The fires of heaven will begin to burn in the fields of England again. Ke rabasakata. Breshte brokoto. The glory of God will begin to rise up in villages. The glory of God will begin to manifest in villages. The glory of God will begin to manifest in the highways and the hedges. Hey! I hear God saying, I'm gonna build apostolic resource centers in rural communities that will be a beacon for many to come and see what I am doing. I hear the Lord saying, if you will build it, I will come. And if I come, they will come. I hear the Lord saying, it's time for a sign and a wonder. It's time for signs and wonders. Let it be, Lord God. Let it be, Lord God. Kirabandaraba. Jekandarabaste. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Thanks, guys. Didn't the worship team do a phenomenal job? Give them a great hand. Well, it's great to be in sunny England. It's very sunny today. It's beautiful. Beautiful, beautiful. Matt arranged some great weather for us, and we appreciate that. Just before I get into the Word, by way of thanks and then
advertisement, I guess. First of all, thank you for sowing or investing, as Matt said, into Beyond These Shores. The gift that you gave will help us do the work that God has called us to do in the nations of the earth. I began traveling the world 25 years ago, 26 years ago now, and in those 26 years, we've been to over 50 nations, and I have trained personally, face-to-face, not on internet or video or by way of radio or television, but face-to-face over 100,000 pastors and leaders in over 50 nations by the grace of God, many of those of whom they could never even begin to pay for the meal on the plane that I got on to fly to get there to them, much less pay for the plane ticket to get me there. So I rely on people like you to help us do what we have been called to do, and we'll faithfully continue to do that. Last year, we did a pastor's conference in Vietnam for the underground church for 50 of their key families. The whole total cost was somewhere around $17,000 just for the conference, plus all the speakers to get there, our accommodation, everything else, somewhere around $25,000 just to do one conference. You say, that's a lot of money. Well, these men have been beaten. Their wives have been raped. Their children have been beaten. Many of them been murdered. The families have been murdered. They've been imprisoned, and they've been through the worst conditions. And they said, we're losing the next generation because we gave up everything to serve the gospel. Now the West has come in, and they have brought the internet and computers, and our kids are addicted to pornography. They're addicted to all things Western consumerism, and we don't know how to reach our own children. We know how to go to prison. We know how to stand against an oppressive government. We know how to spread the gospel. The man that I work with there, when he started, there were 100 believers in Vietnam. He was one of 100. Now he personally oversees 30,000. His church has 30,000 in it. And he said 3 years ago, would you come and do a family conference? Never been done in our nation. It's all still there. The church now is beginning to come above ground. They still have a lot of meetings underground. So we went to a beach, brought their whole families, and we ministered from their youngest children all the way up. We started 2 years ago. Last year, a young man who is very hard came up to me. At this year, he was very hard the previous year. Looked like nothing was getting through. The last day I prayed over him, prophesied over him, tears streaming down his face. We left. Didn't hear any more from him until the next year when I got there. He walked up, came to me, and he said, do you remember me? And he told me his Christian name. I couldn't tell you his Vietnamese name if he had told it to me. But he told me his Christian name. I said, yes, I remember you. He said, I got saved last year. He said, I used to hate the church because of what happened to my parents. I was embarrassed to be a believer. He said, but I got born again, filled with the Holy Spirit. I finished my first year of Bible school, and I'm going to give my life to be a pastor. And I am so thankful for what God did in me. How many of you think that's priceless? That's priceless. I can tell you story after story after story after story after story, just like that. We also do a lot of mercy ministry, and last year we were able to build a school up by the river of the Angola and Namibian border and help with a mission station there. And we send teams all over the world, and we do all kinds of different projects. We've got several lined up that I've committed to this year. So your giving will help us do that. Thank you very much for that. Also, another way you can help us is we have some resources back there. These don't look like a lot of resources, but they're actually much more powerful than you might imagine. These little cards have on them a code on the back. If you have a computer and internet access, you simply go to your browser, put in that code, and it will give you all of the teachings that are listed on that card. The code goes away in a couple of weeks. And then they reset it. So rather than having to lug around cases and cases of CDs, we can do this much more streamlined. If you don't understand that, I brought a technical wizard over there. His name's Alex, and he understands it much better than me. Let me tell you what's on a couple of these. This is our School of Prophecy. It's got about seven, it's a four-part series on CD, but it's about 7 hours of teaching. It has a workbook on a PDF. You can work through how to flow in the prophetic, how to give a prophetic word, how to receive a prophetic word, etc., etc. Who wants that? I'll give this to them right now. This young lady in the back raised her hand first. And can somebody just pass that back there to her? She raised her hand. The back, give her a big hand. This is a different, this is called Hooper Life. This has, I believe, is it 10, Alex? 10 classic messages that haven't been in circulation recently, but we've pulled them back out because they get requested a lot. Some of you, one of the first sermons I ever preached at ground level was a message called Consumers and Producers. I went around all of England and we saw massive things happen. That's on here. Hooperman's on here. There's lots of other classic messages on there, about 10 of them. This gentleman raised his hand, so I'll give that to him. Well done. I love it when Brits are not English. He wasn't being polite, and I'll take it. God likes that. This is audio. What is this? What is this? I can't even read this, Alex. What's on this? It says audio messages. What does that mean? Oh, this is all the newest things. Okay. There you go. I don't know what I'm selling. This is all the newest messages that God has given me. How many of them are on here? He doesn't know either. 10. This is the last 10 things God said to me. Who wants this? I'm going to give you one of them tonight. Nobody wants it. Fine, I'll keep it myself. I know this lady right here. She raised her hand. That's the last 10 messages that we did. Then this is my wife's book on PDF. You can put it on your Kindle reader, all of that kind of stuff. This book sold out within 6 months of us putting it to print, and it's now on Amazon and available in digital form, but you can get it cheaper right here through this download link than you can on Amazon. Who wants this? This lady right here. I think one of you had your hand up first. You can fight over it. And then, not really. Then finally, as Stuart Bell would say, this is actually, believe it or not, a USB. It's a micro USB. It's 8 gig, and this has about 30 messages on it. It'll not only have the word for the year for this year, but it's got about the last half of year of messages on it. There is a series in here called Choose Life. It's 11 sermons. It is the most significant series I've ever preached in my life. The response from it right across the world last year was absolutely amazing. From Namibia to Africa to Poland, all across Europe, it was incredible. This, you get something to put in your hand besides a digital download link. You can keep the USB, which is probably worth about 10 quid. And then you get all the messages. You can download them and then keep the USB, do what you want. Let me give this to somebody quickly. This gentleman raised his hand. And then, because Stuart Bell gets three closings, I do two. This is my book, Hooperman. I know many of you may already have it, but we began to realize a couple of years ago that as we traveled new places, there's lots of people that didn't. This book has literally been translated and sent right around the world in several different languages. It's been in the hands of thousands of Vietnamese pastors, Polish pastors, Nigerian pastors, Kenyan pastors, and the response has been phenomenal. It tells my story, and it gives you some principles for how to transform into a life without limits. Who wants this? This guy right here raised his hand. Let me try not to hit anybody in the head. Well done. Great. So those resources are back there. Alex will help you with those and make yourself available. I don't keep any of the money from those resources. It all goes to Beyond These Shores. So not only are you making an investment in yourself by learning and growing in the Word, but you're making an investment in the nations by sowing into Beyond These Shores as well. So please see him afterwards. Well, if you have your Bibles, if you would, turn with me to Philippians chapter 3. We'll get there in just a moment. I want to give a bit of a disclaimer for those that may be new. Some of you may have been coming to hear me at the beginning of the year for some time. This is the 16th year that the Lord has brought me to the UK. This is number 16, I believe, at the beginning of the year to deliver what I believe is the prophetic word for me for the year. My disclaimer is it's not all that God is saying. In no way am I saying this is the only thing that the Lord is speaking. But I have come to realize that truth was designed to not be artificially inseminated, but that truth was meant to be given in a relational context. So many times when one of us, the Lord is speaking to us, if we're relationally connected, He's speaking to many of us. So since 2000, I've been coming to the UK delivering the word for the year. And every year I pray and ask the Lord not to come back, not because I don't love the UK. I absolutely love the UK, but I just don't want to do something just for the sake of doing it. But so far, He has not released me. Every year I say, I don't think I'll go back. And every year He tells me, go back. So I'll keep doing that as long as He tells me to. Last year, as I began to pray through, I believe that some of what the Lord showed me is particularly applicable to this house and this region. But if you'll allow me a little latitude as a friend of this church to not only speak to this region, but to speak to this church tonight. Is that okay? I believe it will apply to everyone. But the Lord really, I felt Him as I was praying, not only encouraging, but challenging me to stretch a little bit. I felt like He said that 2015 is a year of stretching. 2014, He told me, was a year of focusing. He told me that less was more. We realigned a lot of things in our lives. But He said 2015 is a year to stretch. 2015 is a year to focus forward. To focus forward. I felt like the Lord challenged me, and He asked me to challenge others to have a faith to let go of the past, whether the past was good or the past was bad. For some of you, 2014 may have been the best year you've ever had. For others, it might have been a pig of a year. And everywhere in between. But I felt like the Lord said, I'm asking you to let go of yesterday, to embrace your tomorrow. I sensed that the Lord wanted to release the spirit of faith for something beyond what we have seen. How many of you have been saved more than 30 years? Raise your hand. How many of you have been saved more than 20 years? I'm assuming if your hand is up, you will keep it up. Some of us at 20 years, no, it's more than 30, but not more than 20. Don't know how that works. So I would say the overwhelming majority of us in this room have been born again more than 20 years. That's wonderful. Give God a hand clap for people who stayed saved and keep serving God. However, that presents a great challenge. Because after you've seen a few things, it's easy to wax nostalgic rather than prophetic. It's easy to look backwards of the way it used to be. Remember the good old days. I'm convinced they weren't as great as we thought they were, but that's easy to do. And I sense that the Lord was saying, I want you to, especially those of us that have been born again for a long time, to dare to believe me for something your eye has never seen. Boy, God began to challenge me because I've seen a lot of things. I've seen God do a lot. And He said, Dwayne, forget all that. Have you ever noticed in Isaiah where He says, remember the former things. Remember what I've done. Remember when I delivered you from the hand of Pharaoh and the Egyptians. Remember when the chariot and the horse went into the sea. You remember when He says that? And then right after that, a few verses later, He says, forget not the former things. Behold, I do a new thing. Is God schizophrenic? No, I believe what He's saying is,
remember history, but never let it hinder destiny. And while we're thankful for everything God did in the past, I believe that He's calling us to greater things this year. A daring to believe Him. For the people we prayed for 20 years to get saved and they still haven't yet, can you still believe? For that prodigal that's never come home, but he still can. Salvations we've not seen. Evangelism we've not seen. Healings and miracles we've not seen. Somebody say stretch. So in a word, and you can see there, another word for stretch is reach. And just to cut to the chase, I believe that 2015 is a year to reach. To reach and extend beyond the borders of our past human experience and reach for more of God than we've ever had before. Reach for more miracles. Reach for more people. Philippians 3, I assume you're already there. Verse 13 is really my theme, our theme for the year. Brethren, I do not count myself as having apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. The word reach in Greek is ekteno. It means to stretch out, to stretch forth, to stretch over, or to reach towards. It's this sense of extension. Reach. Normally, if you've been around for a while, you'd know that I would probably have an acronym for reach. Last year, you were blessed to know I didn't have one for now more than ever. We would still be here. But this year, the Lord didn't give me this in the form of an acronym. He gave it to me in the form of five key areas that He's challenging us to reach in. So I just want to unpack those quickly and then we'll pray together. Is that okay? Number one, I believe the Lord is saying, first and foremost, I want you to reach back. Everybody say, reach back. Now, it's interesting because this text starts by saying, forgetting those things which are behind. So how do you reach back when you're not looking back? Simple. God is not telling us to look backwards. He's telling us to look forwards. But you can reach back and look forward at the same time. See, looking back is regret. Looking back is disappointment. Looking back is hurt and failure. But reaching back is legacy. Reaching back is taking the baton. It's reaching back is like a relay race. And you know that if you've ever watched the Olympics in a relay race, they never turn and look at the person behind them handing them the baton. They would lose momentum. They run as fast as they can and they synchronize their running. And at a certain moment, he reaches back and the other one puts it in his hand and he keeps going. And the transfer of baton, excuse me. The transfer of the baton is the most crucial moment in a relay. You can have, in 1988, the Americans had the four fastest human beings alive. Actually, three of the four fastest human beings alive on the 4x100 relay. They shouldn't have even run the race because there's no way anybody could beat them. Until the exchange between number two and number three caused them to drop it and they're out of the race. Do you know we have a great cloud of witnesses, Hebrews 12 says, that have gone before us and they're standing in the audience of heaven and they're cheering us on and they are waiting for us to reach back in the legacy and the heritage that they left
But keep moving forward, because the last thing any of them would want us to do is drop the baton during our leg of the race. I believe I have enough relational capital in this place to say, if my friend Graham were here, we know he would say, run, 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 run. He told it to us when he was alive, and I can hear him saying it from the cloud of witnesses tonight. Reach forward by reaching back. I heard an amazing story this week of a general you've probably never heard of because it's applicable to only American history. General Robert E. Lee. Few of you know your American history. Robert E. Lee lost the war, of course, between the North and the South. And there's a story of a Southern woman who had not only lost everything, but when the war was over, the Union Army had come in and totally burned her house down, destroyed her crops, left her penniless. She was bitter and frustrated. And Robert E. Lee came passing through her town, and she said, General Lee, look, all I have left of everything, my husband's dead, he died in the war, my sons are dead, they died in the war, my house is burned, my crops are burned, all I have is this one tree, and it's dead as well. What do I do? Robert E. looking at her, smiling, said, well, my dear, cut it down and move on. Life is filled with disappointments. Life is filled with things we don't understand. But there is sometimes a sense that we can't stay paralyzed and frozen in the past. We have to just cut it down and move on. We have to realize that the past is the past, and so we have to forget the bad, but we also have to forget the good, and we have to move on. We can keep looking forward, using Robert General Lee's encouragement, but we can remember the legacy and the shoulders of those who went before us. I believe that we reach back for two reasons. One is legacy, and the other are lessons. There are lessons to learn as we reach back into history, and there's a legacy to grab hold of as we reach back into history. I love your British £2 coins. I assume they still are printed the same, minted the same as they always were. Around the outside of them, it says, standing on the shoulders of giants. The first time I ever read that, I was in front of the Tower of London, and I just was pulling out all this myriad of coins that I didn't know what they were. And I saw the largest one. And I was just waiting in a queue. And I went around and read that, and I began to weep. We're standing on the shoulders of giants, ladies and gentlemen, not just in this nation, but in the kingdom. And there are those that have gone before us, and I believe that we need to reach back into the legacy and the history of what God's done, but keep looking and pressing forward to everything God's going to do. When Chris and I got ready to plant the bridge about 3 months beforehand, a friend of mine named Billy Epphart gave me a prophetic word. It did not bless my wife. He looked at us both and he said, God just wants you to know you weren't his first choice. You weren't his first choice for this city. And my wife's thinking, well, la-ti-da. She's actually looking at me like, you don't seem bothered by this. I said, I never thought I was his first choice. And then he said this, but God says you're my next choice. See, I don't have to be God's first man as long as I'm his next man. I don't have to be God's first choice as long as I'm next in the queue. As long as I'm available, as long as I know that He has a plan for me. And it doesn't matter how many people He had to go over that said no to get to one that says yes. That's all He's looking for. And I believe that there's a people rising up in this region that are saying, we will go forward. The prophetic is not about being His first choice. It's about being His next choice. Number two, I believe after we reach back, number two, we need to reach in. Reach in. This could be, he put the example of reaching into the Word, but it's really a lot more than that. I'll give you several areas to reach that you can reach into, but really you could sum this up this way. I believe God wants us to let Him reach into us. I believe that we need to let God reach in to the deepest parts of our being and heal us. Let me try that again. I believe this is a year to let God reach into your soul, reach into your emotions, reach into your dysfunction and heal you. I believe this is a year to reach into the Word deeper than we've ever been. Reach into God's promises deeper than we've ever known. Stretch or reach in our knowledge and understanding of Scripture. Ladies and gentlemen, I just want to say this quickly, but I'm amazed as I travel the world how shallow the church is becoming. And I'm not meaning that as a criticism. I'm meaning it as an encouragement. You need to understand how to properly interpret Scripture because there's lots of heresy out there. You need to learn how to have basic hermeneutic, which is principles of interpretation. You need to learn how to read and study the Word. You need to learn how to grow in the Word. You need to reach and stretch your mind, stretch your spirit, stretch your knowledge of Scriptures. You need to be working. I want to challenge you. Memorize Scripture this year. Just set a goal that you will memorize some new Scripture this year. Reach into the Word. Reach into the Spirit. Stretching and believing in faith like never before. Reach into our relationships to grow them and make them healthier. I'm amazed at the... My parents got a divorce. My wife's parents got a divorce. I understand the pain and I understand... I'm not trying to criticize anyone for divorce. But I will tell you this. And if you've been divorced, there's hope and God loves you. And if you're going through one, there's hope and God loves you. But I want to tell you that God... It's not God's will for you to have to do that. And I believe that God can raise up a generation of people that stay married. Thank all three of you. I believe that there is a reaching for healthier relationships that can take place. Can I say I believe it's time to reach into your resources? Thank you, Pastor Matt. Let me put it this way. Some of us need to reach into our wallet like never before. Some of us need to stretch in our generosity. I heard a phrase the other day, and I loved it. They said, our goal in life is to be ridiculously generous. Wouldn't that be great? To be a people who are known as being ridiculously generous. My daughter's been trying to evangelize a school friend of hers who they hadn't been together and they miraculously kind of came back into contact with another through social media, found out they were living in the same town, didn't even know it. And so they started working out together, and this girl's living with her boyfriend, and she doesn't go to church, and she never was raised in church. She'd gone to us a few times when she was in, you know, year six or year seven, but our oldest daughter began to just pray about an opening to reach out to her and invite her to church, and so she was just praying, and the Lord told her to buy her a specific type of headphones to work out with because she didn't have any. And this girl was like her living boyfriend's a trainer, and she's been training Kelsey for free, but she didn't have this particular headset, and she had mentioned Kelsey's, and she liked them. So Kelsey went and bought her a pair and gave them to her. She started crying. She said, "This is the only Christmas present I got." And Kelsey said, "It's not a Christmas present. It's just because I love you." And she said, "No, this is the only Christmas present I got." She went back and told her boyfriend, and he said, "Why would she do that?" She said, "What is her motive?" And her friend said, "She has no motive. She gains nothing by doing this. I think she just loves me." What if we just reached in to be a little more generous, to give a little more, to stretch in our generosity, in our resources? Before I move on to number three, let me ask you a question. What have you been reaching for? When trouble comes, when life gets difficult, we reach for something. Some people reach for pills. Some people reach for a bottle. Some people reach for a person. Some people reach for all kinds of things. You could fill in the blank. What if we said this year, whenever I'm stressed, some people reach for the refrigerator. What if we said, instead of reaching for something else, I'm going to reach for Him? Which leads me to number three. I believe it's time to reach up. Reach up. Let's reach up to God like never before. Let's make worship and prayer so much a part of who we are that we're focused on the reality that it's all from Him and it's all for Him. That everything we do is about Jesus and just get so God-centered that we're reaching up to God like we never have before. Matthew 12:9-13 says, "Now when he had departed from there, he went into the synagogue, and behold, there was a man who had a withered hand. And they asked him, saying, 'Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?' And that they might accuse him. Then he said to them, 'What man is there among you who has one sheep, if it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will not lay hold of it and lift it out? Of how much more value then is a man than a sheep? Therefore, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath?' Then he said to the man, 'Stretch out your hand.' And he stretched it out, and it was restored as whole as the other." The word "stretch" there is ekteno. It's the same word as in Philippians 3 where he says, "I reach forward." Jesus basically said, reach out or reach up. One thing that strikes me about this, and this is talking about it all being from the Father, and then we'll talk about it all being for Him in just a moment. But it's interesting because Jesus' interaction with this man who has the withered hand, He says, "Reach up or reach out your hand." If I was the man, I'd have given him my good hand. I'd have given him what was functional. But the man reached out what was dysfunctional. And I believe as we reach up to God in 2015, don't give Him your best, give Him your worst. Don't give Him what's functional. Give Him what's dysfunctional. Give Him that thing that's withered and abused and needs to be restored. Because as He reached up with what was weak, it got restored and made as good as that which was strong. And I love a God who's not scared of our withered hands. He's not scared of our dysfunction. And I believe this year, He's saying, reach up with your weakness. We realize it's all from Him, that where we're weak, He's made strong, but it's also all for Him. Acts 4:29-31 says, "Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus." When they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. The word stretch here is the same Greek word as was in the last passage and as was in Philippians 3. And the reality is they reached out to God and said, God, grant unto us that with all boldness we might speak your word. The way you're going to do that is by stretching out your hand to heal. So do you realize that as we reach up to God, He reaches back not only to us, but through us, and signs and wonders and miracles take place. The way God was going to stretch out His hand to heal was when they stretched out their hands to heal. The reality is it's all from Him, it's all for Him, and it's all coming through Him. God wants us to stretch out, reach out, and be His hands, which leads us to number 4. I believe that God is saying, reach out. Reach back, reach in, reach up, and reach out. Before I get on to the more obvious part of reaching out, let me just say again, you may need to reach out and get help. Statistics tell me that 2 out of every 3 men in this room are addicted to pornography. If you are, reach out and get help. 1 out of every 2 marriages end in divorce. If yours is in trouble, reach out. The statistics go on and on and on and on. I'm not saying that as a negative. I'm saying it as a positive, that if you will reach out, God will reach out to you. As a matter of fact, He's already been reaching out to you. And this could be your year. Some of you say, I've tried before. Try again. And watch what can happen. Let's talk about the more obvious part of reaching out. Isaiah 49:6, he says, and I'm reading in the English Standard Version, is it too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to bring back the preserved of Israel? I will make you as a light for the nations that my salvation may reach. Everybody say reach. To the ends of the earth. I believe God's calling us to touch the world. I don't believe that the Great Commission is either or. I believe it's both and. I don't believe it's Jerusalem and then Judea and then Samaria. No, it's Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth. It's locally, it's regionally, it's globally. Nationally and globally. All at the same time. I believe if we're going to be apostolic, we've got to be reaching. And sometimes if you reach just a little bit further, you're so close, and just extend a little more, and you can touch that person. I believe that our churches are going to do more globally, nationally, and locally. But let me just leave that to you, how that works within your setting. And let me talk a minute about individually. How about reaching out and touching your world? Some of you may be familiar with the teaching from Bill Bryden, Lauren Cunningham back in the 70s. They both had a dream of 7 mountains or 7 spheres of influence. Church mountain being one of them, political mountain, the arts and entertainment, business, education, science, etc. And they took in their dream, God showed them 7 sectors of society, or 7 mountains, 7 spheres. And they came together and they shared, not knowing that one another had had the exact same dream. They sat down and shared what they had seen, and it was identical almost. And there became out of that a teaching that was popular for a while that I believe the Lord is putting a spotlight back on. And that is the idea of you being called to one or more of those mountains, that every human being is called to an arena or sphere of influence. And if you know what your mountain is, go reach your mountain. It's taking who God made you and influencing your world. Instead of just thinking about and outreach, which we will do corporately, and I'm sure you do corporately, creating a culture of evangelism and also creating a culture and a mentality that God did not put me in the business community. One of the mountains that you're called to, and many of you are called to more than one, I've been prophesying over him for about 15 years, all kinds of things about business. And he is in that arena, but Johnny, God wants you to remember that it's not about finance alone, although because of your generosity, God's going to bless you and give you finance so that you can do things in the kingdom, but he's putting you there to be a preservative, a salt and a light in an arena that desperately needs the kingdom of heaven wherever you go. And every person in this room is called to reach your world. My grandfather, who's one of my heroes, used to tell me stories all the time. He went on to be with Jesus when he was 93 years old, when I was living in England. He was planting a church in Dallas, and it was back in the day where every Tuesday he would go do visitation. If he didn't have people in the church to visit, he would get people in the church to tell him people to go visit, and he would go, and you'd have Tuesday night visitation. So one Tuesday, he had been given the name of a couple that needed prayer. And so this would have been probably in the 40s or 50s. And so my grandfather went, and it was a two-story apartment complex and had four apartment units on the bottom and four on the second story, and they were upstairs. He went and knocked on the door, and nobody came. He knocked, nobody came, and he was a bit disappointed because he had an appointment to meet these people. He was in faith that he's a young pastor. I'm going to do something great. This is going to be amazing. I'm going to see God do something. Knocked, knocked, knocked. Nobody came. Finally, he was getting ready to leave, and someone had their door open, and because it was South Texas at the time, and it was the summer and it was hot and they didn't have air conditioning and so they needed a breeze, so they had their doors open and they said, "Can I help you?" And he said, "Well, I was meant to meet this couple here, but they're not here. I know I had an appointment, but they're not here." And they said, "Well, what are you meeting them for?" And he said, "Well, actually, I'm a pastor and I'm here to come pray with them. Somebody gave me their name." They immediately stopped and said, "You're kidding." He said, "No." And they said, "We were just saying that we needed to get back in church. We haven't been in years. Our marriage is a shambles. Would you pray with us?" He prayed with them. They gave their hearts back to the Lord. God did this wonderful thing. While he's praying with them, a door across the hall and down heard them praying. When he walks out, they come out and they say, "We're really sorry, but we just," if they'd have been British, they'd have said, "I'm ever so sorry." But they said, we heard you praying. We're not Christians. Would you tell us what you're praying about?" So he told them the whole story of the gospel. They get saved. So he's leaving, feeling really great about the day. He walks down the stairs and there's a young lady sitting on the stairs. And he said he could tell she was sad, and he looked down at her and said, "God bless you, ma'am." And she said, "I wish he would, but he could never bless me." And he said, "Well, of course he could. Why would he not bless you?" She said, "I've been listening to you pray with those two couples up there. You don't understand. I'm a prostitute. I'm a single mom just trying to survive. But I've done some really bad things, and God would never love me." Of course, he shares the gospel with her. She gives her heart to the Lord. And I remember as a little boy him telling me that story. He said, "Dwayne," he said, "I never got the one I went after. Never got the ones I went after. But," he said, "I got five I didn't go after. But," he said, "I wouldn't have got the ones I didn't go after if I didn't go after the ones I didn't get." And he said, "Jesus said, go into all the world." Everybody say, "Go." In Greek, it literally means "as you go." So as you go, you're not going to get every one that you go after. Sometimes you're going to get ones you didn't go after, but you wouldn't get the ones you didn't go after if you didn't go after the ones you didn't get. It took me 10 years to memorize that. As a little boy, yeah, give me a hand. My grandfather would be proud. And
As a little boy, I remember thinking, it didn't go, and I would try to say it in front of the mirror, and I couldn't get it right. But that burned in my heart as an 11, 12, 13-year-old boy, that you know what? I'm not always going to reach every person that I reach out to is going to respond. Not every one of them is going to respond immediately. But we can create a culture of going, a culture of reaching out, a culture of taking the kingdom everywhere we go. And God will perform the rest. Somebody say, reach out. And then number five, and I'm done, is reach forward. Reach forward. Back to Philippians 3. Someone can come place one of these instruments softly. Would be lovely. Brethren, I do not count myself as having apprehended. I hadn't arrived. Paul's saying, I don't know it all. But I'm going to do one thing. Somebody say one thing. Most Christians dabble in 17 things. Paul said, I'm going to do one thing. I'm going to forget what's behind and reach forward to the goal that's before. As I said before, some would say that 2014 was their best year. Well, that's great. But it's gone. Some people say, how far back do I have to forget anything that's behind? So guess what? Tomorrow, forget about tonight. And when I say forget about it, remember, we honor it, we're thankful for it, but we keep looking forward. We build on it, we carry it. When we grab the baton, we carry it, but we don't. Some of you, 2014 was a terrible year. Well, yesterday's gone. Paul was saying, I refuse to believe that I've arrived. I refuse to think that I've got it all. While I'm thankful for my past, I will not live there. And I reach forward. My history will not define my destiny. My disappointment will not stop me from my divine appointments. So in 2015, I'll reach. Just where you're seated, can you respond to God by reaching? Why don't you reach out in faith? Why don't you reach up to God? Why don't you, in your heart, reach back to all the treasures of yesterday, but with your hands reach up and out and forward. Why don't you make a commitment to dig a little deeper, to reach in to your soul and be healed? Just between you and the Lord, why don't you say, I'm reaching. Just tell Him, God, I'm reaching. I'm going to reach back. I'm going to reach
in. I'm going to reach up. I'm going to reach out. But most importantly, I'm reaching.